Standing Committee on Social Development, what I'm going to do is ask the members on my left to introduce themselves, and then we will also ask the procedural staff, starting with our procedural officer, to introduce herself for the record. And we'll go along this way, and then we'll ask our guests to also just come to the microphone and introduce yourselves for the record. We are still waiting on an attendance register, so please make sure that you sign that attendance register before you leave the meeting venue.
Good afternoon, Chair. Lorraine Botham. Today I am not additional but alternative to Member McKinney.
Good afternoon, Chair. Wendy Philander, Member of the Social Development.
Good afternoon, Chair. I'm Gladys Bakwa-Mofose.
We're just going to wait for Member Barnes to take a seat and also introduce herself if she's joining us.
Good day, Amanda Barnes.
Good day, my name is Ben Daza, Senior Procedural Officer.
Romeo Master, Legal Advisor.
Good afternoon, my name is General Smith and I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good afternoon, Eastland Apollos, researcher.
Good afternoon, Cameron Porser, researcher.
Thank you very much, members. So just a note for the record, we've received one apology from Member McKenzie, but Member Porter is acting as Member McKenzie's alternate. I just want to also put on record that we share our condolences with Member McKenzie and his family on the passing of his brother. Members, the aim of today's meeting is to update the committee on the appointment of the Western Cape Commissioner for Children. You're all aware that this has been quite an exciting time in the parliamentary life of the 6th Parliament. We all just arrived here and we dived quite deeply into a very exciting process of leading the country and appointing the first Commissioner for Children in South Africa. What this process has also done is it has put a spotlight on the work that is being done to safeguard the rights of children and also to highlight some of the solutions that are currently in place. And these are solutions that cut across the role of government, the role of civil society, and the role of parents. And I'm just going to stop myself there to welcome Member Wint Voorger and just ask her to also introduce herself for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Rachel Wint Voorger.
Thank you very much, Member. And as you know, that the legislation that underpins the Western Cape Children's Commissioner provides for a commissioner that is going to act as an additional layer of protection for children and act as a voice for children. So it's a very important process, and I think we've done quite a good job in getting this process to the point where it is today. Most of you would have seen the advertisement that was placed in the Sunday Times on the 15th of September, in Die Burger on the 16th of September, the City Vision in Lagunia on the 12th of September. It also went out into the Cape Times. And we tried to get a geographic spread in our advertisement, so we advertised it in the George Herald to cover the Southern Cape, as well as the Worcester Standard on the 14th, and then we went over to the Overstrand and covered the in their Miners Times as well as the Westlander, which covers the West Coast. So we've tried to use the traditional print media as efficiently as possible, but we also quite extensively published this on social media through the Western Cape Provincial Parliament sites, through our own social media profiles as in our role as constituency heads and as individuals, as well as the WCPP database of organizations that it works with. It cuts across all portfolios, but more specifically social development. To date, you'll notice from the list that is in your pack, we've received 60 applications. The application for nomination and application process closed on Monday the 30th. So we now have 60 names of people that could be the potential first commissioner for children in the province. What we are doing is today we're looking at section 2.2b of the Children's Commissioners Act, where it instructs us to publish the names of all of these nominees for objection by members of the public. So what we need to do is we need to follow the same process as we followed with the advertisement of the advert and publish it into all three official languages of the province. And in our last meeting, we agreed that we are going to use the same newspapers to publish the names as well. So what I'd like from you today, members, is to ask if you, give this committee, allow us to give the procedural staff in Parliament the nod to do that, because we have to take a decision and we need to have a resolution. So my proposal is that, and that we also need to agree on a time frame for objections today. You all look very flustered. I'm sure it's the visit to the health clinic. So Member Porter,
Chair, it was actually a very good visit, I might add. I firstly would want to know the time frame in terms of the procedure, and I'm looking directly to Mr. Bendaza, although he's not looking at me. In terms of the time frame for this list to be published, and then I would propose to, when it is then published, to give it at least 3 weeks for any comments on the names published.
Philander, and then
thank you, Chairperson. I wish to concur with the proposal. I wish to support the proposal of going ahead with the process as mentioned in 2.2b. However, for clarity purposes, I understand that those names will now be published in the different media, as was the advertisement. I would just like to know, in what form will the objections be lodged? Is it via email? Is it via WhatsApp? Is it via what medium will be used? Because that can have an effect on the response received. Thank you.
No, what I'm thinking of, they concluded what I wanted to say, but I want to ask something else. As we all know, this is the first time that we are doing that. This and the Premier gave us this opportunity as this committee. I would like us to go and do oversight. According to me, this is new to us, and maybe there are countries that are already doing this. So can we, as a committee, go and do oversight in those countries, if there is countries that is already doing this? That will help us a lot, so that we understand what we are in. Thank you.
Member, can we deal with those first two questions, and can we park that question for once we've concluded the process for objections? Just before I give over to Mr. Dasa to respond to the question around what the process is, specifically around supply chain management, because we found in the last round that was quite a laborious process to go through, and advertising, it requires our procedural officer and Mr. Dasa to run around getting quotations for how much it's going to cost to place how many words in which newspaper, and how the words are spaced, the fix, the cost, etc. But just on Member Philander's response, we will follow the same process as we did with the advertisement, where all objections must be received via post, and it can be hand-delivered to the fourth floor here to this building, which Mr. Jamche receives. It can also be mailed to the Secretary of Parliament for attention for our procedural officer. And it can be emailed to Ms. Jamshu. So we've covered digital, hand delivery, and post in terms of that. But Mr. Dasa,
can you answer the question?
Yes, thank you, sir. It's the question of Member Porter. We discussed it with a legal advisor today, and we agreed maybe 2 weeks should be fine, but you're suggesting 3 weeks. We have no objections to that. It's up to the committee. If the committee feels that they will give members of the public 3 weeks, it's fine. It's even more than with the legal advisor and myself, when we discussed it, we thought 2 weeks should be enough, based also on the fact that we gave members of the public also plus minus 2 weeks to submit nominations. Yeah, after today's meeting, we'll have to conduct a supply chain management. They have to source quotations, it must be placed, and then the service providers must go to Parliament and tell us how much it's going to cost. And stuff. It takes plus minus 2 or 3 days. So because we do not have a service provider for Parliament to place that, so they must get all the people who supply the service to go to Parliament, and then we must decide on the cheapest quotations based on the newspapers that have been identified.
Member Philander, and then.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish to support the proposal for the 3 week period. I think one must just make sure this is our first process to ensure that we have sufficient time to process and to receive, and also for the public to scrutinize and submit those objections.
Chair, thank you. In the light of what Mr. Dazaj just said, I would then want to say that the process in terms of supply chain should be completed by Tuesday the 8th. I'm thinking in terms of the time frames that you are talking to. And then let's say we go to newspapers on the 9th, which is Wednesday, and then we give it up until Thursday the 31st or Wednesday the 30th, whichever.
Members, can I get your, are you all okay with the proposal from Member Boita that we advertise for 3 weeks and we are calling for objections, and members of the public must object by the process as I outlined earlier, and they will have 3 weeks to do so. So we get the objections out into the print media by the 8th. And we have it until Wednesday the 31st of October. We will also advertise the same process on social media through our constituency pages, and we will send it out to all of the organizations and stakeholders on the WCPP database, as well as the same process we followed by sending it to all municipalities and offices of government to make sure that it gets us as wide a reach as possible. The legal advisor, Mr. Master, if you look like you'd like to make a contribution.
Chair, maybe just to add to what my colleague Daza mentioned earlier as far as the period is concerned. Of course, it's members' call on what that period should be, and 3 weeks seems to be the current suggestion. What informed the two-week period was so that it coincides with the period that was used to place the adverts. One. Two, because one would want to keep this process as transparent, as clinical, and as open as possible, I was very mindful that one would not want to find oneself in a situation where you have to explain down the line to any interested party, especially if this thing becomes politicized, why there was a two-week period for adverts but a three-week period for objections. Because if there was a three-week period for the advertisement, there may have been more nominations, more possible candidates. We do know, having listened to the various media platforms, printed and otherwise, that this advert and the notice to this effect was sent out generally, the newspapers, but also in a very focused way to interest groups, very focused. So their attention has been alerted. A two-week period vis-a-vis a three-week period would be a negligible difference. unless members say that we are comfortable to explain down the line that the advert was okay for 2 weeks and the objections for 3 weeks. If we could explain that away, then it's the members' call as to what it is. I'm trying to just reduce the possibility for needing to explain later in the process when this thing becomes too hot to handle.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Mr. Master, but I want to support that by saying that the two-week period will also give us a very good opportunity to still stick to our tacit promise that we'd like a Children's Commissioner to be in operation by next year, February. I think because this is currently in the media, we're going to benefit from some free publicity as well. And if we shorten it to 2 weeks, it means that members of the public will be on top of it. I can tell you that since last week, Wednesday and Sunday to Monday until 3 o'clock, I was answering calls and answering emails about this because people wait until the last minute to clarify them. What the Act says, to access the Act, to ask for information. So I think if we put it out as quickly as possible in that two-week period, we say to members of the public, you've submitted, you've done the work while it's still fresh in your mind, now is the opportunity to object. So I'd like to make an amendment to my earlier proposal to say, let's make it 2 weeks, and we also then give our procedural staff some time once those objections have come in to process those objections and to make sure that what they prepare for the committee is what they've received. But members, it's your decision.
Thank you, Chair. My view would be, Chair, if we are given legal advice, it's better we take that than rather sitting and defending something that is beyond our control. It was 2 weeks, let's stick to the principle of 2 weeks.
Chair, in that light, it was my proposal, so I'm amending, not you. So, I would amend, and then I go to the 23rd of October, and yeah, that's then the closing date. So it's my amendment to my proposal.
Thank you very much, Member Porter. I like it when I'm kept on my toes. You know, sometimes we wear the suits to keep us together. Today is one of those days. Member, so we agree that we will advertise from the 8th of October until the 23rd of October for objections, and those objections will be received via hand-delivered, via post or via email to Ms. Chanchi. I also wanted to just ask members that we agree to publish the names and surnames only, and that we publish it in alphabetical order and not in the order received. So it will look something like this. We just want to send this around because we need to be mindful of not publishing people's personal information because the process did ask people to prove that they're South African citizens and they've attached their ID number. With that in mind, I'd also like to remind you that members, you have a copy of all of the details that have been received, a summary of all of that, and I would like you to treat that information as confidentially as possible. The names will be in the public domain as of the 8th, but please can we keep people's personal details under lock and key to satisfy ourselves that we've treated them with the respect they deserve. Member Porter?
Chair, I just want to ask something on something procedurally, and if it's going to happen, and where does it actually happen? Taking cognizance of the fact that this person is responsible for children in this province, mainly. In terms of police clearance, where and when does that happen? In terms of all the applicants or nominees.
And perhaps with the Dazan, the legal advisor, you can advise. My understanding in terms of my previous experience with recruitment is that once you get to the shortlisting process, you vet the shortlist bearing in mind that the current process for members of the public to obtain police clearance is at minimum 21 days, and it requires someone to go to the nearest police station to apply for police clearance, and that gets sent off to the police central data center in Pretoria, where it gets processed. But if you, Mr. Darsan, the league, Mr. Mastopa, perhaps you can advise us whether Parliament has a specific process in terms of how Parliament vets it, or do we leave that up to the Premier once we've given the Premier our short list of candidates that we'd like him to consider?
Thanks very much. I must say it's the first time that we make this kind of appointment, so we don't really have an experience on it. So the committee must decide when they would like the people to be vetted. So it's up to the committee. So you want to vet people who have been shortlisted, I don't think you'd want to vet everybody who has applied. Mm-hmm. So it's up to the committee. The responsibility is given to the committee to decide how it's going to do it.
Member Bakaba.
Thanks, Chair. I would suggest that after the shortlisting, we can then vet the candidates that we are going to shortlist.
Yeah, Chair, mine is just a point of clarity. The number of nominations received was 60, but if you look on the list that you just stated, it's 59. So I don't know what happened there.
I can answer that. I think in the process of verifying names, we notice a duplication because members of the public, when they apply, sometimes they take a chance and try to apply twice, and then in the process of capturing, I picked up the one person that was captured twice. So I would also like the committee to also give us time to check again, just to make sure that the names are captured correctly. But we pick up things as we go. But that was just an example for the chairperson, just to see how the advert will look like. But don't read those names. It's just an example for the chairperson.
Chair, I'm just thinking for the minutes purpose. Yeah.
I think, members, what I'd like us to note in the minutes as well, and as a resolution, is that the committee gives the procedural staff between now and next week, between sort of now and the end of the week, just an opportunity to also just double check that all the applicants and nominations that have been received is correct. I have to say in the same breath, I'm very grateful to our procedural officer and Mr. Daza for their work on this. It's been quite a lot of work. It's been intensive with Ms. Jamche running between her office on the fourth floor and the reception and answering calls and emails from organizations. It's been quite a difficult task. And a lot of the emails that I got was after they've gone through her, and they didn't like what they said, what she responded. So I have to say it's been quite a laborious process. So if we can just note that there is going to be a double checking of the list to make sure that we avoid duplications, because in some cases different organizations nominated the same person as well. And then, members, I just also wanted to just come back and support Member Bakubaku Force's point, and to propose that at our next meeting on the 8th, so we're going to have two meetings on the 8th if my reading of the program, parliamentary program, is correct. We're going to have a meeting where we consider the Cluster A oversight visit report, and then I've asked for a separate meeting of just the Social Development Committee, and at that meeting I'd like to propose that the agenda for that meeting would be to agree on the timeline and process going forward around the appointment of the Children's Commissioner. So in that meeting we agree what is the process that we're going to follow as a committee to shortlist and then to call for interviews. So that's when we will discuss the issue around vetting, because that will give us some time to do some research in terms of what's the most efficient way to do it. Because in addition to vetting, I think we also need to make sure that no individuals on our list appear on the offenders register for crimes against children. So members, are you happy with that? So before we close the meeting, are there any other questions of clarity or comments that members would like to make, bearing in mind that we didn't discuss Member Bakubaku Force's proposal that we look at the role of children's commissioners in other countries, member Bakubaku Force, what I'd like to do is, I've done quite a lot of research on my own to see how this happens, is I'd like to share that with everybody in the committee, and then at the meeting of the 8th, we put that on the agenda as well, to have a discussion in terms of what is the best practice internationally, and what advice do we give to the Premier in terms of, and to the new Children's Commissioner in terms of how Children's Commissioners work, and how oversight is exercised over that Children's Commissioner. Because we don't know which committee is going to have oversight over the Children's Commissioner. At the moment, my understanding and reading from the Act is that it will be the Committee on Premier and Constitutional Affairs, but the Act says Parliament. So it requires a little bit more of a conversation.
Thanks, Comrade. I will disagree with that, because yes, this opportunity was given to the Premier, but the Premier chose to give it to the social development. So I don't see anything that it can stand in front of the social development, unless you are telling me, Chair, that we can go as a cluster A, not the Premier or whatsoever. That's my take. I'm open to discuss further with you and others.
Mr. Daza has a comment to make, but just before I say, I'm not saying that anything will happen or can happen. I'm saying, can we add that to the agenda for a discussion on the 8th, where we have a little bit more time, and once members have had an opportunity to read through some of the research, and I think members will also do their own research in terms of what's available. Maybe what we can do now is we can make a resolution that we will ask the Parliamentary Research Service to provide us with a research document on how Children's Commissioners work in other countries, how oversight is exercised over those Children's Commissioners, and where those Children's Commissioners have been successful and unsuccessful. That's my proposal. So that's something we pass on to the Parliamentary Research Service, not the procedural staff, to the research service. And Mr. Daza?
Just on that comment by a member, this process was referred to the committee by the Speaker. Not the Premier wrote to the Speaker. It's the Speaker who referred this process to this committee. So I think that I must just explain. And the other issue we've got, one of the responsibilities of committees is to monitor the implementation of legislation. But in our history, we have made sure that committees monitor their own legislation. So if you pass legislation on health, the Standing Committee on Health will have to monitor all the bills or the acts they have passed. This act was passed by the Standing Committee on Premier. So it's something very strange. So I don't know. I think members can deal with that. From our side, because I cannot say the Standing Committee on Social Development must monitor the implementation of legislation, because it was not passed by them. So I say to the Standing Committee on Community Safety, monitor only that we have passed. But this legislation was passed by the Standing Committee on Premier. So, but the Speaker referred this process to this committee. So it was not referred by the
President. Thank you very much. And I think what we will do as members of Parliament, we will monitor the implementation of legislation. We're all members of different committees, but we have the right to attend every committee. So I think when we have that conversation, and perhaps it's something that we can put on our Cluster A agenda as well, because it's a broader conversation if we have time. Members, with that, thank you so much for your time today and for accommodating the request to have this meeting. Thank you once again to the procedural staff for a great amount of work that's gone in, and good luck to everybody with the next few weeks ahead with the annual reports. And I'm assuming we're all off to the next meeting, which is budget. Thank you, members.